PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This episode, how's it going? Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio with Drew Sikogren. Drew, how you doing, Drew?
What up, dude?
Woo! For you, too! I got a whole bunch of movie news stories, because we didn't do a movie news episode last week, so some of these bunched up. And we're going to run right through them really fast. Except for this one. We may take a minute for this, for the lead story. Tonight's lead story, Drew! It's a long tail on that thing. MoviePass shenanigans. Shenaniganry with MoviePass. Mm-hmm. Well, at least now we know what's going on a little more.
I am aware of this nonsense.
Okay, it's interesting. So, like a week ago, MoviePass announced that... Well, let's back up. MoviePass was a service that was available for a few years in which you paid, like... $29.99 or $39. It was like $30 or $40 a month that he paid for MoviePass. That was the membership fee. And then you would get 8 tickets a day, however many movies you want to see in a month, right? So you'd have to see like 3 movies for it to be worth it. Mm-hmm. Which for us would still would have been worth it. An investment company. Someone comes in and buys a majority share of the company. And it's this guy's idea to knock down the subscription to $9.99.
Okay.
And blew up its profile.
Okay. All right.
It is also apparently this guy's idea to play hardball with movie theaters. Because what they want now, it's not only... So what MoviePass is doing, they issue you a card, like a pretty much a credit card. You say what movie you want to go see. They purchase a ticket at full price from the theater. Give it to you. You're only paying your $9.99 per month, that one fee.
Yeah.
And MoviePass is all like, we're going to make our money by selling your data. They're openly like, we're going to sell your data. They said that from the very beginning.
We've known about that.
You want to know how we're going to make money by doing this? Because it's a loss leader. We're going to collect your data and we're going to sell it to companies. So we are buying your movie-going habits.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, you know, fine, whatever. We put that shit on the goddamn internet every week.
Yeah.
We let you know exactly what we're seeing. So they're very open about that, but they are also now open somehow, or maybe it's just obvious that they're being crushed in the beginning by because the people that are using MoviePass now are killing it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Anthony Davis, Black Hasselhoff. He saw 9 movies on the last 30 days on this MoviePass, so that's $1 a movie, which makes some stinkers that he saw because I saw the list, and half of them were stinkers.
Well, it happens.
And that's going to happen because there's not that many good movies are made. If you want to see that many movies, you're going to have to sit through some crap. MoviePass, they're saying we're going to sell your data. They're getting crushed in the beginning. Like once it gets to a certain number of subscribers, we'll get to those subscribers that will only see 1 or 2 a month. Those are the people we'll be making money on. That'll help us make money. What they really want to do now is they want movie theater chains like Regal and AMC. Those two companies own 50%, over 50% of theaters in the country. Cinemark, et cetera, et cetera. They want theater owners, the exhibitors, to cut them in on the concession profits and the movie tickets that they are buying. They want money back. They want a kickback on the movie tickets that they're buying.
You may be able to get a kickback on the movie tickets through some favors, maybe some handies here and there.
What can MoviePass offer?
I don't know the specifics of, you know, any of these deals, obviously. I'm just talking out of my ass.
Oh, well.
You will, I guarantee you this, you will never get a cent of their concessions.
Right.
You will not get a goddamn penny from their concessions.
That's where they're making their money.
Yeah, that is movie theater's bread and butter. You will never get a dime of their concessions. You might be able to work out a deal for part of the kickback for the movie ticket. Maybe.
So this is a, maybe, but not if
only you, because they're buying them in bulk in so many markets.
In so many markets, right now they have 1.5 million subscribers.
Like I said,
and if
that's the way they're doing business, where they're actually buying the ticket themselves,
yes,
and
are.
Then giving it that way,
yeah.
Then technically they're buying movies en masse. So why not cut them a deal?
Well, here's the thing. So MoviePass is all like, listen, they put out a press release. Well, first they pulled out from certain AMC theaters, the high ticket ones, the ones where the average price was $13, $14, $15. The New York and LA,
yeah,
maybe a Chicago, the the Disney AMC, Disney Springs one. That one is on the list. I'm got sure. Next. Those high volume theaters and the high price theaters were dropped from MoviePass's availability, and MoviePass did it on their own. And then there was this weird thing where they tried to position it like, oh, like AMC, this is around AMC, and AMC's like, we had nothing to do with this, man. This is all you guys. They just did another thing where now they put out a press release saying, we want AMC to work with us more. Look, we are providing. They use some like wonky math to be like, this is, look at how much we're adding to your bottom dollar.
Yeah.
By rejecting us, this is how much money you're going to lose potentially, et cetera, et cetera.
You're not adding any money, and they're not going to lose a dime if you stop.
Actually, someone did the math, and it looks like MoviePass currently accounts for less than 5% of revenue AMC makes from ticket sales.
Sounds about right.
And someone, who is this? I think this is AMC. AMC put out a statement, like a counter statement. And here's a quick section. We know that we currently represent approximately... Or is this MoviePass? Oh, yeah. No, this is what MoviePass is saying. We know that we currently represent approximately 62% of AMC's income. They said 62%.
Bullshit.
I'm just going to stop right there. I'm not even going to read the rest of this.
Yeah, no, there's no point.
All this wonky math. Let's see. There are a bunch of numbers and stuff in here. I'm reading from the Verge.com. This is a Verge article, guys. It's just so, you know, accountability, et cetera, et cetera. And it's turning into a pissing contest here between MoviePass and AMC.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of funny. And doesn't make me want to side with MoviePass. I mean, I'll probably get that.
No, I mean, definitely not.
20% of the concessions. That's the number I was looking for. 20% of the concessions, Drew, is what they want.
Oh, bullshit. Bullshit. You want a fifth of their concessions? You are so fucking high.
That's crazy. I thought there was another. Anyway, okay. Well, there you go. It's fucking. It's just crazy, man. It's crazy, and we the consumers are just stuck in the middle, like divorced children, mama, papa. What do you don't?
I mean, can I get two Christmases out of the deal?
That sounds cool.
It's all right.
All right. Here we go. Remember, Drew.
It's a very large price to pay for two Christmases, Chris.
That's fair.
it's very.
And really, it's the same amount of shit, just split up over two locations.
I guess
it's how much your parents are trying to.
With the extended family, sometimes you can swing it out of the park. One year, my dad got remarried, and I had Christmas from welcome to the family Christmas his new wife's side of the family.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit, they showered me with fucking so much bullshit, and they got fucking divorced like 6 months later. It was ridiculous.
It was probably over crazy spending habits. Lavishing people with gifts like that. It's wild.
Yeah, dude. It was silly.
All right, the price you pay for two Christmases.
So
anyway.
Much shit.
Someone should make a movie about that. They probably have. I'm pretty sure we talked about this. The whole Universal Pictures Dark Universe thing. Mm-hmm. And how the two people they tasked with running the whole deal have left to go on to do different projects with different studios. So there's like
nobody there.
It's a ship without a rudder.
Mm-hmm.
Bride of Frankenstein was on the schedule to come out in like 2018, 2019. Got pulled from that schedule. Not rescheduled at all, just pulled down. So people expect that, oh, that's it, Dark Universe, it's done. They're going to try to figure out what to do with these Universal monsters. But it's back on. Bride of Frankenstein is moving into pre-production. Bill Condon will be directing. He did Chicago. Remember Chicago? Angelina Jolie was supposed to play the Bride of Frankenstein. No word if she will be still attached to the project or if they're going to find someone else. But there may be life in this one just yet, even though no one's asking for it.
Yeah, I was about to say, does anybody really care?
That's the thing. I don't think so. The thing is, with Bride of Frankenstein, that has movie legacy, because when it came out, it was like one of the highest grossing films, if not the highest grossing film. It was a huge smash hit, Bride of Frankenstein. So that's why that's stuck around for so long. They want to try to recapture that. The X-Men movies all got shifted around, Drew.
Shifted? As in, like, they're still making these things?
Well, the ones that are made and they're already marketing are being... their release dates are moving around. The New Mutants. Their horror.
Yeah.
The Fox horror film.
Seriously, I'm kind of enjoying this whole, like, people getting weird with the comic book movies.
Yeah, it's about time. Like, it took them long enough.
Thor was strange. Doctor Strange was fucking way out there.
Strange was Thor.
Exactly.
Strange was Thor.
Logan was hella violent, finally rated R.
Probably about time. Deadpool.
Deadpool as well. Deadpool
really helped kick that door down for Logan.
Exactly, and now we're getting this weird, like, teen horror thing.
And we're getting this teen horror thing. We're getting Afrofuturistic Black Panther.
Yeah.
Wokebuster.
Wokebuster.
Yeah, man. Kendrick Lamar did the album. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's gonna be. I'm really looking forward to that fucking soundtrack.
They could have got Jay-Z. They could have got so many people. Really got Migos. What, Kendrick Lamar? Imagine the Migos.
Black Dude, Panther album. I mean, Kendrick Lamar might have put Migos on the album.
That's
who
true.
Knows?
Very
I mean,
true.
He has very eclectic tastes.
That's very true. And Migos is the voice of a generation.
Yeah, apparently, I haven't listened to. I mean, I actually went through one of my playlists recently and realized that if it's not Migos, at least one of Migos is on, like, at least a third of this playlist. And I didn't even know it.
There you go. You were just banging it. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Exactly.
It's speaking to me. It's like it's my voice.
No, I don't know about that. I just like it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
All right, you millennial. New Mutants getting shifted around. It's supposed to come out February 22nd, 2019. It is now coming out. Where did it go? It was right there. Oh no, that's what it is coming out. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. It was supposed to come out this year. Wasn't it supposed to come out this year? Yeah, didn't we talk about it?
Yeah.
We talked about it in our movie guide episode. It got shifted to now it's come out in February. And the reasoning is because they did some test screenings. And while the movie is, like, tense, and, you know, it's good, it's not bad, it's good, they're happy with it, they want it to be scarier.
Ooh,
so
they're
asking to go back and turn it into a more frightening experience.
I'm cool with that.
So we don't know if it's going to be, like, with, if they're going to reshoot some stuff, or they're going to just edit some stuff, maybe change the music, do this, that, whatever, but that's what's happening there. And then Deadpool 2 is actually moving up slightly earlier, June 7, 2019.
Okay.
So, there you go.
I'm cool with that. I mean, dude, shit like this happens all the time.
It does. Things get moving around.
Fucking Red Dead 2 got pushed back almost a full year.
I saw that to October.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah.
But hey, at least it's going to be quality. It's going to be the Rockstar game that we deserve instead of this rushed bullshit.
That, yeah, exactly. That other people do.
Yep.
They take their time. Usually, don't they?
Yeah, they know every time.
Yeah, like if it's not ready, it's not ready.
Well, and that's what they said when they delayed it first. They first delayed it. They were like, it's going to be a couple of months.
Yeah, wasn't this thing supposed to come out like 2 years ago already?
No, it was supposed to come out last October.
Last October. Okay.
And then they pushed it to they said January or February.
No, October.
2018. Now they're saying October.
There you go. Hey, you know what? I don't need something else in my life to take up all my time.
I was actually worried about it. I was like, man. Like, I haven't even finished Assassin's Creed Origins yet, and this fucking game's about to come out. Like, I am not prepared for this.
This guy losing sleep.
I do not have the time to do it.
Drawing up schedules to figure out all right, an hour and a half for this one on Tuesday.
Like, I remember there was a point in time where I had nothing else to do but play video games, and now I can't even find the time to do that.
Now where's the time? Where is the time? Quentin Tarantino's ninth movie. It was about the summer of 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking like this movie will see him re-team with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
So that's fun. They only work together in...
He's going to play Charlie.
Is he?
I mean, those were the rumors.
Is that the rumor?
That's the rumor.
I think it's rumored. It's definitely not confirmed.
No, definitely not confirmed. Rumored, though, that he's going to be playing Charlie.
Mm, that will be
good
interesting.
Old Charlie.
Now, the movie is not supposed to be about him. It's just centered on that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the Sharon Tate murders. He's trying to get Margot Robbie to play Sharon Tate.
Exactly, which is you can't deny the importance of what happened.
It was insane. It was a crazy day. It's a crazy summer. 1960. It was a decade to practically end all decades. I mentioned this story already on the normal show, I think, or maybe on the best of the Continental, the John Wick TV show coming to the Stars Network.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that already. You see any of these fake Crocodile Dundee commercials, Drew,
mm-hmm.
with Danny McBride.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, is this a movie? Is this really a thing? It's a bunch of commercials for
whatever it is. It's fucking hilarious.
It is pretty funny. I mean,
when I saw it, I was like, seriously?
I get it. Dundee colon the son of a legend returns home.
Yeah.
With Danny McBride playing Brian Dundee.
And
then it's like Chris Hemsworth's in it. And
it sounds like if done by like Lord Miller or
Well, yeah, sure. Give it to Taika Waititi. It's going to be a great movie. But
exactly.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, these guys can do no wrong, apparently, it seems, unless you're working for Disney.
Yeah.
DundeeMovie.com. You can go there and check out all these silly little movies.
It's hilarious.
Hey, good for Dan McBride. So out there getting paid.
It is. I think it's great.
Here's a couple of Cloverfield stories. First off, the third Cloverfield movie that was originally titled God Particle. What they're doing over there at Bad Robot. You see what had happened was someone found a script for a sci-fi movie and they're like, this looks good. Let's turn this into a Cloverfield movie. And they did that with 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm.
They did that with this one, God Particle, that's coming out. This movie was written about, and I don't even think they bothered changing it that much. Who knows how much they changed it. But it's about a space mission involving a particle accelerator. And they accelerate some particles,
mm-hmm.
and then shit goes wrong. And they're like, oh my God, God Particle. That got turned into the Cloverfield sequel, right? Which mm-hmm. was supposed to come out in theaters. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Got acquired by Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's coming out on Netflix, which means mm-hmm. not in theaters.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So not in theaters now.
Yes, not in theaters. That is correct. Which I'm kind of bummed out about.
I was about to say, that's kind of lame.
It's a Cloverfield movie. It takes place in outer space. I feel like I should see that in a theater. But now it's going to be on a... I mean, you got that sweet new TV. It's pretty big, but...
Yeah,
it's not a movie theater.
No, exactly.
It's not a movie theater. On the back of that, in what is now classic Cloverfield fashion, not only is this Cloverfield movie that's whatever it's called... Doesn't even have a title yet. Not only is this coming out on Netflix, they have another Cloverfield movie on the back of that one coming out this year, Drew. There's already a fourth one coming out. What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
What? I mean,
well,
I knew that they were trying to turn this into an anthology type thing,
yes.
You know, and I get it.
Precisely.
I just didn't think that they were going to be hitting the pavement so hard. Like, they had the first one, and yep. then it's been a couple years.
It has been.
And then they had, whatchamacallit, and they had 10 Cloverfield Lane. They had Cloverfield.
Well, it's been 10 years now since the first one.
Exactly.
So
and then 10 Cloverfield Lane.
So it was like 8 years, right? Yeah. And then 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is like 2 years ago.
Which was like 2 years ago. So I was expecting this one, and I knew that was coming out. And I was like, okay.
Because
we talked about it.
Yeah.
So like, we'll get this one. Probably another one in a couple years.
Right.
Like, every couple years, we'll get one.
No.
Apparently not.
They're going Marvel style. Let's do multiple ones in the same year. Because they did their now classic Cloverfield thing, where they take an existing script, or existing project,
and they just change it.
Like, we can Cloverfield the shit out of this.
Let's do it. Let's Cloverfield the shit out of it.
That's what it's called. Cloverfield the shit out of something. So they found something called Overlord. Okay. Overlord follows two American paratroopers who are dropped behind enemy lines in Normandy on the eve of D-Day to carry out a mission that is vital to the invasion. However, the soldiers soon learn that the Nazis occupying the village are harnessing supernatural forces. Drew, this movie stars Wyatt Russell.
Who?
The son of Kurt. Wyatt, son of Kurt.
Oh, okay. That's what I had to say. Son of Kurt. Who are you talking about?
As well as Bokeem Woodbine. And I don't recognize any other names. So, whereas these other Cloverfield movies seem to be existing in the same sort of timeline-ish, present day-ish. This one, we're going back to World War II. We got a World War II Cloverfield movie coming out, man.
I'm okay with that.
About
can I
supernatural
get,
Nazism.
Can I get a 10 million BC Cloverfield, where I get Cloverfield monsters v, you know, raptors and T-Rex?
Maybe.
Laser raptors and shit?
Maybe we'll get a Cloverfield movie. First, they'll do one set in like 5,000 ACE, right? Where, because that's what it's called now. And it's been called it for years. And it's like in another world, another planet. And then they do 10,000
BC.
And then they do, they go just ping pong back and forth.
I'm like that. That'd be cool. They can hook up with the ancient alien people.
There you go.
Like, get us some ancient alien Cloverfields.
Give us your dumbest theories and we'll make it work. We'll make it work. So I got, I think, three or four more stories here real quick. So Star Wars, : The Last Jedi, did not do well in China. Whole deal over there.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, right? So the first Star Wars movies came out in the 70s, yeah, when all outside entertainment, especially Western entertainment, like verboten in China, right? So all the way up until, even including the prequels, like, they had no exposure in China.
So they had no idea what the shit is.
So when The Force Awakens came out in a now open China, they had to educate the Chinese people on, this is Star Wars. And they went all out for Force Awakens, like, crazy.
You guys missed six movies.
That's the thing. You missed 30 years of cultural backlog, right? So they did this huge thing for Force Awakens, and it piqued their interest, and they went and checked it out, and it was a modest hit in China, but it wasn't, it didn't do gangbusters. That first one made all its money in America, which is surprising. The second one, Last Jedi, essentially bombed over there. It did not, and they pumped money into it, and they cannot tap into the second largest, practically largest, movie market in the world. So, they have Solo, a Star Wars story coming out this summer.
Yes, they do.
And it's coming out in China.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to make money over there.
Why bother?
Because it's a gigantic market.
I get it, but Star Wars, you're not going to get Star Wars in China. Just accept it and figure out something else, guys.
What if the thing, their idea to figure it out is, they changed the name of the movie
to
Ranger Solo. As in, Drew, Star Wars has been dropped from the title. Ranger Solo.
He's just a guy in space. Guy having fun.
Guy in space. Yes. So,
okay. Sure.
That makes me think of how Above the Law, Steven Seagal's first movie, came out, and it was an instant hit worldwide. And, you know, at least for 89, for the standard at that time. And the character in that movie, the main character, his name is Nico.
Mm-hmm.
He then made Mark for Death above... No, no, his first movie was... Ah, goddamn it. Anyway. His first three or four movies in foreign countries were all called like Nico, Nico 2, Nico 3.
Okay, so they were all the same.
They just slapped them all, Nico on all of them, and claimed that these were all the same movie.
Man, that guy really gets around.
Pretty funny. That Nico guy. They're all set in New York.
Ish.
Justice. All of Out for Justice. Out for Justice, yes. Above the Law, yes. Marked for Death, partially, I believe, yes. Does it? I don't know. I think it starts in... No, it starts in Nam. That's the weird one. First one, definitely. Anyway. Chicago? He's got that Chicago accent, you know, Drew. He's like, hey, and then he's, hey, I also got this New York accent. And he's like, hey, now I'm from China.
Now I'm from China.
Now I'm going to go make a sandwich. The director of the movie Rampage, starring Dwayne The Rampage Johnson. His name is Brad Peyton.
Okay.
Someone asked him about video game movies. The quote, video game movie curse. How come video game movies always turn out so poorly? This is his response, Drew. I would like to hear your reply, your rebuttal to his response. When you attempt, and this is about the movie Rampage, video game Rampage, and video games in general. When you attempt to adapt something that has an incredibly deep plot line or character or something along those lines, you're beholden to delivering something, and it's really a difficult challenge because as a gamer, I know I play as the hero. That's an immersive medium, and so it's really hard to go up against something that pre-exists, end quote. What do you think of that word salad there?
I mean, I guess... how about this?
How does that...
How about this?
Yep.
If you are a capable storyteller and you are given a property, if you can tell a story, you can find a story within that property and tell it. And then guess what? Hopefully, it's not an awful movie.
And hopefully a good movie, right? Thank you. Just be a good storyteller. It doesn't matter if you're making a movie based on a video game or a board game or a theme park ride.
Whatever.
Pirates of the Caribbean, that movie, Johnny Depp was nominated for his performance in that goddamn movie. Oscars mean nothing. Yes, precisely, Drew. So then I find it hysterical that Brad Pitt and this guy is talking about all this shit when he's the guy who made San Andreas. And San Andreas is barely watchable as a film.
Yeah.
Let alone is actually entertaining or good. So, once I found that he signed on to make this movie, I lost all hope for it being good. And the trailer really hasn't done me any, like... I don't know. It may not be awful, but... I fear this man is going to make a boring Rampage movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably... It's just him and The Rock doing this thing again. So, whatever that is.
So, there's this weirdo. All these people on the internet are weirdos. There's a... Okay, so when... Okay, back up. Star Wars Last Jedi. When it came out, it had kind of a low Rotten Tomato score for the audience score. It was like in the 50s. It was pretty low. Very surprising. It should be like in the 90s, especially before it comes out, right? Someone claims that they wrote a program that hit up Rotten Tomatoes by the audience score and just like click, 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 and they're the one who drove down the score, and they did it as some sort of statement about, like, did it as a deep... God damn it. Okay. The online profile is called Down with Disney's Treatment of Franchises and its Fanboys. You with me so far?
Okay.
This profile once again calls... once again, taken to the internet, called on DC fans, DC Extended Universe fans, to intentionally give Black Panther a negative audience review on Rotten Tomatoes. It's being called, quote, give Black Panther a rotten audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, end quote. Very, very witty. And it will happen on February 15 when early audience screenings for the film begin. The movement is being framed as a way to fight back against Disney for helping foster lousy press for DC movies while skewing critical reception in favor of Disney-produced projects from Marvel and Star Wars.
Okay, so... What's the problem?
I don't understand what's going on.
To me, it sounds like Disney's promoting their material.
Disney's promoting their movies, yes. And someone who likes the Justice League movies, Batman vs. Superman movies, apparently thinks that Disney is on some sort of quest to have the media purposefully skew those as being bad. So in order to do that, movies like Star Wars Last Jedi and Black Panther, they're trying to drive down the audience scores.
Oh, I'm sorry. He just likes bad movies.
someone just likes bad movies.
Someone likes bad movies. That's what's going on there.
I also feel like, in a coded way, saying like the Disneyfication of movies in modern terms now, it used to mean a different thing. Now I feel like when I talk about Disney doing things, movies to get the biggest audience possible, it's a coded way of saying they don't like how their movies now have women and people of color in them.
Yeah. Well, guess what they do.
Yeah.
And get used to it, because there are more women and people of color on this planet than you.
Yeah, goddammit. Unless you're a woman or a person of color. Or a lady of color. In which case, hey.
So, you know,
what's
I mean.
Up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, hey, sorry, bro. You're a white male. You are the minority.
I wish, not in this country. Overall, yeah.
What,
we don't have unfortunately, a global infrastructure yet that would help negate such
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know how red states complain about California? And they're like, the Electoral College is so we don't have the tyranny of... No, instead it's so we can have the tyranny of the rural white man.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, there's a meme. And I mean a meme in the traditional sense, not like there's a picture with words on it, but a meme. A white power meme, a white nationalist meme.
Uh-huh.
When white folk, you know, like you, are are encouraged to, in discussions of race or whatever, anytime any sort of race comes up, to merely inject, and of course this is a thing to do online, it's okay to be white. Into the conversation and then see how people respond to that. The idea is to then bait someone into throwing out anti-white statements or whatever and get into an anti-white argument and then to flip it, be able to flip it on them. Like, so you know you're the racist, that whole thing.
Kill Whitey, Chris.
No effects. Hashtag no effects was right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I can't agree. Yeah, I mean, white people... when it comes to history and what people have done, like, truthfully, not like what people say they've done,
mm-hmm.
White people have got a really bad track record.
They, I mean, for the most part, yeah. And it's like, I mean, personally speaking, I work with almost exclusively white people.
I'm sorry.
I mean, just the way it is. But the people I work with are all good people, and mostly good people. And I enjoy their company most of the time. So it's, you know, it's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, white man's the oppressor, but it's I don't think it's Stockholm syndrome necessarily. The thing is, they're oppressing my fellow white brothers and sisters. Just many of them don't see it.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're
less oppressed. They're oppressed on a larger level that they can't see. They're in a bigger bubble that they can't see.
Yes, that is what it is.
Yeah. They think they can get out of this bubble.
Yeah.
And occasionally some of them do.
Well, no, they got
like a lottery system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's called being poor and white.
Poor and white.
They are in the same boat as all the quote unquote minorities.
So when LBJ, he was proposing the war on poverty, and they even touch on this a little bit in the movie Selma, which is kind of interesting. It's a real debate, interesting debate to have, but he was focused on the war on poverty, uplift everyone. White, black, etc. Martin Luther was saying, you can't do that as long as we have these segregation laws.
Yeah.
First, we all have to be on the same level, and then you can lift us all up. He was doing the war on poverty. Nixon ended that shit.
Yeah. War on drugs.
War on drugs. Because he
a
knew...
War on the poor.
War on the poor, because he also knew, and they saw this, the Republican establishment of the late 60s and 70s saw this, that the unification of the poor was, like you said, people realized we're all in the same boat. We got to band together. So the powers that be had to make sure that didn't happen. So racial division was used to make sure that poor whites saw themselves as separate from poor blacks.
Yep.
So, you know, poor blacks are the welfare queens misusing their entitlements, whereas these social services are used by the poor whites just to give them a leg up. And yeah, it's all in the wording.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're in the same fucking boat.
They're in the same boat, but we keep them separate. And then that was Nixon. Nixon and his cronies. Now we are 40 years later with the 99.9% and the 0.1%.
You see, the problem
the
is, Chris,
now,
even
they've
though...
They've succeeded. They won. They won.
Even though Nixon left power, all of his cronies stayed there.
Exactly. That's the problem.
They were all there. Well, and it's because it wasn't Nixon and his cronies. Nixon was just the face. Nixon was one of the cronies. There was somebody else who's been pulling the strings the whole time.
But Nixon did have a hand in a direct hand in some war on drug stuff, and he was the one that kept marijuana specifically on Schedule One.
Yeah.
So all these people that we're talking about, they're not going to like this next story, but Men in Black 4 looks like it may be happening. It may be some sort of new generation thing. They definitely can't get Tommy Lee Jones back. They could barely get him for the third one. They had to do a time travel thing to work him in.
Can they get Josh Brolin back?
Maybe, but that would require time travel back to the 60s, which they're done with.
Okay, well then they need new white guy.
They need new white guy, new black guy, or maybe they'll sign a new Spanish guy, Asian lady.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Right? Or maybe they'll do, let's get Laverne Cox in there, we'll get transgender lady, and Peter Dinklage. Come on, now we're talking diversity.
There we go. I'm down. I'll watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, they're also like legitimately... like popular,
like I said, I watched the shit out of that.
Yeah, well, that should be really cool. Now that I think about it,
yeah.
Do you remember the Sony stolen emails that came out a few years ago? And in those emails, it was revealed that they were legitimately contemplating a Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover.
Yes,
and it would have involved Tatum and Hill working with new, like, you know, not Smith and Jones, but different agents, right? Men in Black agents.
But still.
But so they were already thinking of ways, how can we make another one? Because Men in Black is a very successful franchise for them. So it looks like they're moving forward.
But that was all because of the fucking dichotomy between Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes, exactly. You have to find that
you need that.
That weird chemistry, that charisma that works there. You got to find the right team. You can't just throw any two people in there.
I mean, your best bet right now would probably be let's do Men in Black with The Rock and Kevin Hart.
I mean, that is an easy, like, softball down. Whoa, easy softball down the middle. Easy bet to make for sure.
It's a T-ball, Chris. Yeah. I am literally putting it on a silver platter for you.
Like, all
you have to do is knock it out of the park.
Do you guys want to make 200, 250 million,
here
275?
Here you go.
That's right.
I have an idea.
Well, you know what? Who knows? Who knows who they could get? How about this? How about Tyrese?
No.
How about Ludacris? And Michelle Rodriguez.
No Fast and Furious people. They've got enough money.
Well, here's the thing, Drew. It's looking like to direct this new Men in Black movie may be the director of The Fate of the Furious, F. Gary Gray, who also directed Set It Off, Italian Job. How about Queen Latifah?
And Mark Wahlberg.
Hey guys. You guys hear about these aliens? There's fucking aliens over here. We're gonna go stop the aliens. I'm gonna go punch that alien in its fucking face. I gotta work on that. I haven't done a Wahlberg in a minute. I was thinking, how about Jada Pinkett Smith? Let's keep with the Smiths.
Okay, Jada Pinkett.
Jada Pinkett. Vin Diesel. In old man makeup.
No, Vin Diesel as Riddick.
As who?
Riddick.
Oh, we brought in Riddick from a whole... Is it all Universal? Does this say? Sony Pictures.
He can be an alien Men in Black.
What did Vin Diesel do with Sony? The Last Witch Hunter?
Ugh.
Oh, boy. Ay, ay, ay. So F. Gary Gray is their number one choice of director according to Deadline. And I definitely see that. You know.
Gary. It's a really hard turnover between the F and the G.
That'd be a crazy, like, three-movie run, too, for this guy. I mean, he's already had a pretty good career. The Negotiator, remember that one?
Vaguely.
Samuel Jackson is a framed cop, and he takes a bunch of people hostage. And Kevin Spacey, he's a negotiator.
Negotiator.
And, it's Kevin Spacey. It's kind of annoying. It's a good movie, though. The Straight Outta Compton, Fate of the Furious, Men in Black, a Men in Black movie. That's a 1-2-3 that looks great on anyone's resume. Men in Black does well, makes a lot of money. This guy can do whatever he wants next. He's like, I need $120 million for this personal project I want to do. That's not based on any sort of thing. Like, okay, you got it.
I'll give you 100.
Give me 100. I will direct Men in Black, The New Generation 2 for you right after you let me do my $120 million personal project.
Like I said, I'll give you 100.
I will take my sweet project to another studio, and then I'll agree to make their whatever blockbuster they need next because I'm a hot property. I'm hot, Drew. I'm worth that $20 million. You know where that extra $20 million is going?
In your pocket?
Yes! My $20 million. You're trying to take...
I'm not stupid.
I'm trying to feed my kids.
I know how this works.
I got a family to feed.
You've been feeding that family pretty good so far. You don't need my $20 million.
I am. I have not been more exposed than I have ever been before in my life.
I'll give you a sweet cut on the back end deal. How about that?
I'm getting that back end. Duh, I'm getting the back end. I want that Spielberg deal. Give me that Spielberg. I want the upfront and the back end. That's called the Eiffel Tower.
Finger cuffs.
Finger cuffs. Eiffel Tower. What else we got? It's the, capital A. It's the uppercase. You can give him the old uppercase A. That's all involved in some sort of high-fiving. Which is very...
Very American.
Very American.
Very American.
Very American. Very unaware of its homoeroticism. So American. It's very 300 of them. What? I just like abs.
I just really like them glistening in sweat in slow motion.
That's what I like. Alright. I guys hope you enjoyed this 30-minute show that we spread out into 41 minutes.
Now what about Bill's email?
Email. That's exactly why I sent it to you, Drew, because I knew I would forget. Billy D sent in his Death at the Movies late on Sunday. Because
I almost forgot about it on Thursday.
No, I remembered it today. Sent it to you. Forgot about it now.
What's today?
I was wrapping it up. Today is Thursday. 1, 2, 3, Thursday. So, Billy D's Death at the Movies. Oh, you know what? Here we go. Whoa, that's heavy. That's heavy. Here we go.
What is up, my dude?
What's up, Bill?
Sorry for the late update. Been crazy busy today. I caught Batman Gotham by Gaslight this week. It's the right kind of batshit fun DC should be having on the big screen, but they don't.
Oh.
It's steampunk / Victorian era Gotham. Everyone is there. Gordon, Dent, Selina Kyle, Bats, and Alfred. And Jack the Ripper is carving up hookers in Crime Alley.
Whoa.
Selina Kyle is leading the suffragette movement and pretty woke for a 19th century woman.
Hmm.
All I have to say is moonlit fight sequence atop a Zeppelin between Batman and Jack the Ripper. Fuck yes.
That sounds cool.
Stay cool, Billy D.
That sounds really cool. Someone did this for a Crespo Hundo and was actually disappointed by it, which is like, oh no, we don't want their animated division to start slipping. Otherwise, what does DC have?
Nothing.
Besides a Wonder Woman sequel, which we'll finally get Gal Gadot with feathered hair.
I was about to say that, and they have a very successful comic book business.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, that they got that whole whatever that is. Yeah, comic books. What? This is a movie show, man. Yeah, they have that going on as well. Although, was Jeff Johns in charge of all that as well? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Man, now they had that whole shakeup.
I know that
Johns is out with the movies.
He's probably out with the movies. I know he was a writer. I don't know. I know. I mean, things shake up so much in these comic book places.
They do. It's a volatile business, like any of them.
I mean, Jim Lee's working. He's in one of the higher ups of DC now. He was a Marvel staple for the 90s and 2000s.
His name sounds familiar, yeah. Jim Lee.
Now he's doing Batman and Superman.
Yeah, everyone gets around to doing these iconic guys, you know? Only thing I like about the Super Bowl this weekend, other than the fact that I'll probably watch it with my dad. I wouldn't watch it, actually, if it wasn't for my dad. If my dad wasn't here, if he was still up north, I would not fucking bother.
What time does it start?
I don't know, like 6:30, 7, something like that. Way too late. Way too late, way too long. Only good thing about it, and then the commercials too. I'm so over it. I've been over it for a few years now. Over the commercials.
I don't think a single part of any of the Super Bowl last year.
I'm
very much looking forward to doing the same this year.
Yeah, I may have skipped last year's. No, last year was Atlanta, New England. I think I watched the second half of that.
I don't remember anything.
That was that wild second half. the movie, what seeing what movies get promoted is always interesting every year.
This weekend, yeah,
to see. We got a couple 30-second and minute-long. What movie-wise?
Yeah,
Winchester.
Oi. Oh yeah.
Oh, we're gonna go see that Winchester, the Australian house in America. Hey, you want?
Can we not?
Hey, Drew, you want to go see the Winchester?
No, I don't.
Oh, I got Australian Santa over here. You thought I was Australian Santa? I'm not. I'm an Australian elf that helps out Australian Santa. He's over there taking a shit.
Excuse me.
Yeah, actually, I'm planning on seeing the Call Me By Your Name this weekend, so. Because that's the only best picture I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen all the other ones, Drew?
I don't even know what's the fuck. I haven't looked at
that shit. Yeah, we're going to have to.
I mean, Gabe put up that.
Yeah, that's nice
that
of him.
Google Doc.
Thanks, Gabe. We appreciate it, dude. So we'll be using that, and then everyone can play along for when we do our bonus up, probably in 2 weeks.
We got
a couple weeks.
What's nominated?
What is nominated? Let me see if I can think. Here we go. We got 9 movies. We got Dunkirk. We got Get Out.
Saw.
We got 3 Billboards.
Saw.
We got The Shape of Water.
Saw.
We got Call Me By Your Name, which is what I want to go see. We have... Think off the top of your head, Chris. There's 4 more that I can't think of off the top of my head. Isn't that fun? You're just going to go ahead and look it up. I'm just giving up. Not Blade Runner, I'll tell you that. Which
Okay, The Post, Lady Bird,
The Post, Lady Bird, Get Out.
All 3 of those. Dunkirk, saw Darkest Hour, saw Ship of
Darkest Water. Hour, that doesn't deserve to be on there.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Nowhere near. No!
Right?
Darkest Hour, no.
Silly, right?
I mean.
And what else did I miss? I missed another one.
Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread! Fantastic. You probably don't think it belongs up there.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis should be nominated for Best Werner Herzogery.
the Daniel Day-Lewis Award for Werner Herzogery?
Uh-huh.
For English Werner Herzogery?
Yeah. Goes to Daniel Day-Lewis.
With the confrontation.
I tell you. Watch The Phantom Thread. Close your eyes. Think Werner Herzog. It's a really good impression.
It's pretty funny. Why?
No, you're right. Can I call him by your name?
That's the only one you haven't seen?
You want to see those CG'd nuts out?
I want to see if I can be like, that's a scene where they cut them out. I should have seen his balls. I should have seen his balls in this.
Army Hammer, man, with the biggest nuts in Hollywood.
Yeah, man, I want to see what's up. Also, Timothy Chalamet.
Who?
The one who plays the kid. He was in Lady Bird. He was the second kid. You know, first there's the one who she breaks up with. Then there's the one she sees at the party. He's reading about a pool.
Oh, yeah. The loner douchebag.
The loner douchebag. Timothy
Okay.
He's having a heck of a year because he's in that. He's nominated for Call Me By Your Name. And some people are saying it's kind of bullshit that he is and Armie Hammer isn't because it's very much
a duo.
A two-hander.
Yeah.
If you will. Uh-huh. And he was just in Hostiles, in which he played the French guy who...
In Hostiles.
And I was like, look, it's that guy. That means this character's going to be interesting. And then nothing happened.
And then he died.
Immediately.
Yes, pretty much.
They even set him up
He had a cool mustache.
He had an accent. They set him up like, he was like, thank you for choosing me. He's like, I didn't choose you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to be into something. Dead.
Yep.
So stupid.
Yeah, he had a good year.
I feel like it should have been a better movie. But yeah, he's having a bit of a year, so.
People like him, apparently.
People like him in this a lot, apparently. So I'm going to go check out this Call Me By Your Name, probably. Then Winchester. You don't want to go see that Winchester?
I don't give a fuck about Winchester.
Don't give a fuck about the Winchester. All right, well.
I mean, I like me some Helen Mirren, but.
What about Jason Clark?
I like Jason Clark, too, but I'm more interested to see him as Ted Kennedy.
And Chappaquiddick.
In Chappaquiddick.
He's like Moses' head.
I really...
Moses' head, the Red Sea.
I love watching quote-unquote comedic actors turn into actual actors in front of the camera and just to watch them fucking knock it out of the park every goddamn time.
Well, that's the thing. Comedy is so hard to do. If you can do comedy, you should be able to do drama, so... That's another one where it's like, oh, look at all these comedians.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The Post is loaded with that.
Yeah, I know. And they're all fucking fantastic, Chris. Yeah,
they are, all of them. You know who's having a hell of a year, too? Michael Stuhlbarg, man. Shape of Water, The Post, and I think He is also in Call Me By Your Name, I think, because I think he has three movies this year.
Hmm.
That goddamn Stuhlbarg, that he is turning into a national treasure.
And there's Michael Shannon, who just works like he's got...
Oh, Michael.
Like he's dying.
Michael Shannon's the best. And he also said after Trump got elected, he said, fuck middle America. We're the United States of fucking morons. That was a direct quote. United States of fucking morons. It's, I don't care. I'm from Kentucky. These are my people. They're idiots. They're so stupid.
Agreed.
Like, I was like, I love this guy.
Agreed.
He's just speaking his mind. He's like, I don't give a fuck. And then what are you going to tell him? No, the guy's a giant.
Seriously.
He's a gangly giant with weird eyes.
And that a fucking jawline for days.
Yeah. Jaw is going to have to grow fists and punch you. Goddamn, where did that come from? I didn't see his hands move.
I got punched by his jaw.
It was pure jaw punch. Jaw punch. That's his next movie. Yeah, jaw punch. And then finally be like, oh, you jumped a shark, buddy. Do kids even know what that means anymore, jumping the shark? They don't.
Nope.
Don't even use it. They probably think
no.
They're probably thinking we're talking about the left shark, jumping that left shark. Bring it back to the Super Bowl, man. That Katy Perry performance with the sharks. Remember the sharks?
What?
And then the left shark was like really sad. No, and then it got turned into a meme immediately in the new sense of the word with a picture with words over it.
Missed it.
Oh, man, you missed the sad shark.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good performance, though.
If you say so.
It's Katy Perry. That's what she does. She puts on a big show. Big show.
Mm. Okay.
Gotcha. All right, I'm hungry. So thank you, Drew.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend with episode 265 with, we're good with our guest?
Yeah, I'll see him tomorrow.
You didn't set the time yet?
I told him 2 weeks ago. I'll remind him, yes.
All right, set that up. Make sure we're good to go.
Oh, yeah.
He has the interest, et cetera, et cetera. Because that one's on.
It'll be fine.
That one's on.
It'll be good.
We got some great guests lined up for the next couple weeks, and then we got to figure out something to do. We're going to have to do some sort of crazy special episode for the weekend. We're in New York for Billy D's nuptials.
Moment, how are we going to figure that out?
Yeah, I'm going to figure that out. I think we're going to do our first road show, our first mobile show, in which we record along the way, maybe. We'll be those idiots sitting in the airport with microphones. I'm sorry, Jer. You chose.
I really don't want to be that guy.
You chose to travel with me. We'll find a quiet corner. It's gonna be like 6 in the morning.
I should have done this by myself.
There'll be no one else there.
I should have done this by myself.
Yeah, but you didn't.
It's all right. I'll remember this for the rest of my life.
Will you? That's cool.
No, I'll make sure I never travel with you again.
Oh, that's what you're doing. Because everything will be a road show from now on.
Yep. Oh, fuck that.
Where are we going? Thailand. That's a 17-hour flight. You know how many episodes we can do? Pay for that Wi-Fi package. All right. The show is over. Thank you.
A PFT Media production.